Finally this hour, how can one claim innocence when the internet decides you are guilty and there is no way to defend yourself? In the spring of 2013, a college student named Sunil Tripathi went missing. His family used every resource available, including the power of social media, to search for Sunil. In the beginning, the outpouring of support and love was a comfort to a heartbroken family.
The Facebook part and social media part was absolutely uplifting. When we did a posting and we saw a lot of response, you know, it carried us. It carried us.
Sunil was still missing and his face all over the internet 4 weeks later when the Boston Marathon bombing happened. In the frenzy to find the killers, Sunil's name was tossed around and then speculation became a suspicious lead on Twitter and Reddit. Eventually, it made its way into the mainstream media.
Very quickly bounced back up out of Twitter and into blogs and news sites and other places as everyone tried to capitalize on the traffic that they knew would come from having that name in a headline really quickly.
But after only a few days, Sunil's name was replaced by the real killers in the Boston bombing. The damage was done, though, and all of the warmth of people searching for lost Sunil had been wiped out by the speculation about a guilty Sunil. And so when Sunil was found to have killed himself shortly after he went missing, it was a dual tragedy this family faced. And that dual tragedy is the subject of the new film Help Us Find Sunil. Neil Broffman is the director of the film and got exclusive access to this story. Sangeeta Tripathi is Sunil's big sister.
So when you're searching for somebody and you need the help of the community in the world, you use every avenue you get. And I think the events of Boston, as we've talked about in the film, really show that there's both a power and a really big source of challenge that can come with reaching out to others. In the 2 days after that trauma, we actually were able to use that same amount of energy and beauty that was taken negatively that night in an incredible way. And in the span of 2 days, over 10,000 people liked our Facebook page. Over 500 people wrote messages on their hands and sent them back to our family and continued to engage in the search. And so what's very important is that there was a trauma of looking for my brother. There was a trauma of the way in which social media and traditional media caused a lot of harm in one night by moving a lot of lies. And then there was an incredible power that's very important not to get lost that actually was used to help continue searching for my brother.
What was Sunny like? What would I think of him if he was sitting here talking to me? What impression would I get?
My brother is an incredibly gentle, quiet and consistent and thoughtful person. Kind of the essential ingredient in making any recipe, right? In our family, you can't make cake without flour. You know, you can't make cake without eggs. He was this part of our family and of his own group of friends, so it was very important and special.
How aware were you of his emotional cycles?
So mental health is a really big challenge among many young people. Suicide is the second leading cause of death of teens. And most of those deaths, many of those deaths are not things that are expected by anybody. Every young person struggles, and most people don't quite know how deep those struggles are. When we were searching, our family had to speak to people all day, every day, in every convenience store, on every street for 39 days. And I cannot tell you the number of people who gave us hugs and say, I know my brother, my son, my daughter, my niece, my neighbor. Mental health is a really big challenge for everyone. And the really scary part is no one really knows how much people are struggling until bad things often happen.
There's the shot of him walking away on a security camera that appears in your film. That's a very ghostly picture. That's the last time we see him. But yet there's so much of him in this film that happens after that moment. As a filmmaker, what was your challenge here?
The challenge is to be fair to the story, be fair to the family, be fair to Sunil, and to tell the story in a way which is not sensationalistic. That was all done the night of the misidentification. After the bombs went off in Boston, you have people who are starting to speculate, you know, through platforms like Reddit, crowdsourcing the investigation, sharing information.
People could do searches and go, hey, I'm a detective.
That's right. And this was encouraged. And so by the time on Thursday when the FBI had their press conference and released the photographs, it was already churning. And so all these things were said. And to do a course correction and explain, to try to step back and look and see how did something like this happen, and yet then go beyond and say, well, these are all the things that were said, but this is who this real person was, and this is his family, and this is what they went through. That's a big challenge.
You worked for the networks, right, Neil?
Yes, I worked for CNN for a long time.
And you've experienced the news feeding frenzy from the other side of the desk before, right? Or the other side of the camera.
That's right. But, you know, in a situation like this, it's very different today because journalists are required to operate in two universes. One, like the one that we're on right now, on the radio, in print, on broadcast. And then you've got this other mysterious world of social media where reporters are expected to tweet, participate in conversations, start conversations. And I think this is where it becomes very dangerous, because whereas you would never say something without a proper source, for some reason, on that night, people were able to use sources like Omar 2000, 3000, you know, these anonymous, who are these people? You know, fake.
Well, it's
got
to be something, right? You're in a newsroom.
That's
crowded,
right?
Newsroom. Terrorism. Crawl. Breaking news.
Exactly. It's constant. It's a constant feeding frenzy of information. But that's not information that was being reported. You know, for instance, Luke Russert, who is the Capitol Hill correspondent for NBC, he retweeted information mentioning Sunil's name on several occasions. Now, he would never have been able to stand up in front of an NBC camera and report Sunil's name and even say this was being speculated, because it's not. The police had never said anything. Nothing was ever mentioned through any sort of official channels. Yet it's okay, apparently, to do it in one universe, one side, but not on the other.
What was it like for your parents to see this unfamiliar sort of internet world turn on Sunil and turn seemingly on them in an instant with no truth attached to it?
It is as anybody would imagine it to be. This is horrible, right? It is horrible for somebody's name to be flying around falsely. Sunil's story is particularly tragic, and it's particularly painful to our family. And part of why I choose now to continue engaging with the media is to continue to raise awareness, for everyone to remember not just to accuse social media or traditional media, but for every single person to realize how much power their voice has, or their little tweet, or their type.
To be responsible
and
for
to
it.
Realize that there is a human being on the other side of the screen.
In the end, you discovered what happened to Sunil. How would you describe the state of your family now and what it was like to learn those final facts?
It's really hard to know that we as a family and we as a community and we as a world kind of weren't enough to be able to save my brother. And one of the first thing that goes when people are struggling is their connection to each other, right? People pull back, they get disconnected, they feel isolated. And it's at that moment that it's most important that in all of our efforts, whether they're at kind of the macro media level or the super micro level of a Facebook message or a hello or a text message, that we be loving and we continue to reach out to each other. Because when we either attack each other or pull back entirely, we leave people we really leave people. And I believe our world really, really needs it. Things that we see on TV and in our own families and neighborhoods every single day remind us of how fragile we are and our communities are and our world is, and how much we really need to keep using our voice and our energy as positively and gently as possible.
Neil and Sangeeta, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
The film is called Help Us Find Sunil. It won the Brooklyn Audience Award at the Brooklyn Film Festival this past weekend and will be distributed by Film Buff this fall.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.